This is Andy Shore from Washington, D.C. with the Pulmonary and Critical Care Literature Update. I'd like to point out an article in the New England Journal of Medicine that was released early on March 19th by Boonen and colleagues from Belgium. These authors focused on cortisol metabolism in critically ill patients. Now, of course, the role for corticosteroids in septic shock remains hugely controversial. We have the Anon study from over a decade ago, really suggesting that in patients with vasodilatory refractory shock, adrenal insufficiency was common, and there was a role for steroid replacement therapy. Subsequent, of course, we have the Corticus trial that was negative, and those studies had different approaches, different entry criteria, but nonetheless, I think everyone would agree that the issue is unresolved. And in fact, we even have competing meta-analyses on this topic. Part of our lack of clarity in terms of how to utilize corticosteroids and how to interpret the literature derives from a lack of understanding of cortisol metabolism in the critically ill. In approximately 2004, there was a fascinating article in the New England Journal that actually demonstrated that the correlation between total cortisol, free cortisol, cortisol binding in critically ill patients was essentially a scatter plot and unpredictable, which really indicates that what we're measuring when we get a cortisol level or a random cortisol is probably not necessarily what's biologically active in patients, or it doesn't even approximate it. And so what Boonen and colleagues tried to do was really actually accomplish an effort to better elucidate what's going on with cortisol production metabolism in the critically ill patient. They studied 158 patients in their ICU, realized that these are all-comer ICU patients, not every patient is septic, and of course there are lots of reasons to believe that sepsis may be unique in terms of what's going on with corticosteroid metabolism in the adrenals, but they compared these 158 patients to 64 matched controls. They did a series of very nuanced physiologic assessments, and not every patient actually got every test. So it's not one study of 158 patients, it's really a series of studies, or almost six different studies done in a cohort of patients. And again, let me emphasize, not everyone had septic shock or severe sepsis. What the authors found was that cortisol levels, not surprisingly, were significantly higher in patients who were critically ill. But what they did find was that most of this elevation, or some aspect of this elevation in cortisol levels, was mainly driven not by increased production, but rather by decreased clearance. So it was as if the cortisol that was being made was not being metabolized appropriately, and this was even clarified when they really focused in on looking at urinary metabolites and looking at the activity and the levels of certain reductase enzymes in patients as compared to controls. What did this high level of cortisol do? Well, it fed back and suppressed what was happening at the pituitary. Excuse me. So it really suggests that we have a pituitary independent mechanism here in terms of cortisol production and certainly in terms of cortisol degradation. The implications of this for critically ill patients is really unclear. It again derives from a heterogeneous cohort of patients. But what the authors really did nicely was correlate what was going on with inflammatory cytokines and other markers and what was going on with cortisol levels, suggesting that the inflammatory cytokines and even perhaps catecholamines might be independent signals for the production of what might happen in terms of cortisol production in the critically ill patient. In an accompanying editorial, the author very nicely puts together kind of a big picture of what's going on and really points out that there may be things going on even in the adrenal endothelial cells that are important to understanding metabolism that we don't even have a clear picture on. What are the clinical implications of this? Well, I think at this point they're unclear. The authors of the Boonen article conclude by suggesting that if we're going to talk about, quote, stress dose steroids, the dose we're probably talking about is certainly too high given what the basal cortisol levels are in these critically ill patients. But again, that's just conjecture. In the end, hopefully from this kind of work, we'll get a better understanding of cortisol production in critically ill patients that can serve as the basis and help formulate hypotheses for subsequent clinical trials, particularly in the septic population. This is Andy Shore from Washington, D.C.